All right, and so if you would, turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10, I'm excited. Of course, the last few Wednesday nights been talking about prayer and looking at God's Word in prayer. Of course, going all the way back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden, the beginning of our time or what we know as time or the world in which we live. Because of course, God does not dwell conformed or constrained to our time, or he's always been and he always will be. But as he's created this earth, and as Adam would walk with God and commune with him, and as God has communed with those in Scripture, we can look at those conversations, those prayers in which we too should be going to God and communing with him, and that conversation as we pour out our hearts and allow the Lord to, in return, speak to us, not just through meditating on his word, but also through the Scriptures. But I want to look at Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 12. If you would, look there. If you have it, say amen. Amen. So three of us got it, so that's good enough. And verse number 12, it says, "Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou, moon, in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about the whole day." And so the book of Jasher, as you read through verse 13, you might say, well, what's the book of Jasher? The book of Jasher is a book of poems that have been collected. Although not to be inspired, they were written by man and not of the Holy Spirit. Some also believe to be the in Numbers chapter 21 verse 14, where it's got records of the wars that the Lord had given Israel. And so, but as you look at this, you see something very interesting. Something that has never happened like this before, and something that has never happened since, as Joshua prays to God for help. And we see that God does what we would think the impossible. And so let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word tonight, I pray that you'd help us to keep all the distractions, the busy week. And dear Lord, thank you for those that have come in here straight from work and maybe tired, not even having dinner, might be hungry. I pray that you'd please help us to keep all of those distractions away, but focus on what you have for us tonight, and help encourage us, dear Lord, as we grow closer and stronger with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, prayer is like any other thing. It needs practice. And if you ever want to be good at something, like playing an instrument, it's going to take lots of practice, hours and hours and hours of practice. I am horrible at basketball, but one of the things we did 3 days a week for 3 hours after school, from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock, we would practice three times a week. And as a team, we would be out there, whether it was cold, rainy, hot, it didn't matter. We were out there running, learning. One of the things I remember I think I was probably 9th or 10th grade, our basketball coach came in and he put on an old video back from the early 80s or the late 70s. It was back when the basketball players wore those really goofy looking short basketball shorts, and praise the Lord for the fact that they don't wear those anymore. But of course, you know, room full of guys, we're all laughing, and he put on a video of Pistol Pete. And if you've ever heard of him, if you've ever played basketball, you've heard or watched basketball, you've heard of Pistol Pete. He is a legend. Some to think perhaps the best college basketball player of all time. And with that, he still holds the record for the most points scored by a Division I player with 3,667 points. Now, that may sound like a lot, but this is also before the three-point line. So every basket was a two-pointer. There was no three-pointers. That would be extra points added on. Someone had gone through and recalculated his shooting average in every college game and determined that if there was a three-point line and he would get that extra point for every shot he made, he would have averaged about 57 points per game. That's pretty incredible to average that many points per game, and became a legend. And I remember shooting with Pistol Pete in this video. And of course, he had the big old mustache and the short shorts. And of course, we're all laughing and giggling. But that video taught me how to shoot a basketball, how to hold the basketball, how to line up your hands and your form and trying to release the ball. There's a technique in not just, you know, throw it up and just pray for the best. There was a lot of technique, and he would just make shot after shot. And, of course, just being in awe, just like, wow, you know, and listening to the instruction. And I remember listening. Now, did it help me? No, I was still bad at making my shots. But I tried to do those steps even all the way up through high school. I remember still trying to do everything that I remember Pistol Pete on that video trying to tell me. But how did he become that good? You think, well, he was just born with that gift. He lived with a basketball in his hand. Everywhere he went, he dribbled that ball. He practiced his whole life. And to think and some think, well, Michael Jordan, you know, he just was gifted. No, for hours and hours, year after year after year, when he would, he didn't even have a basketball goal. He had a milk crate with the bottom cut out in a grass field on a telephone pole. But he spent hours out there shooting and dribbling. And to think that practice. And the obvious observation here is the more that you spend, a person spends practicing or spends with a passion over time, they're going to become better. And that's why as a Christian, we should always carry tracts with us. We should always carry the Bible to church. We should always be faithful to church. The more that we practice things in our life, the more opportunity we will to be successful. In carrying tracts, you know, how can I be a great soul winner? Well, let's start with everywhere you go, carry some gospel tracts with you. That way, I wouldn't want somebody to be more passionate about basketball, carrying a basketball everywhere, than Christians we would be about winning souls. And of course, there's more to it than just passing out gospel tracts, as our voice and our life have to also back up that message as we present the gospel. But prayer is no different. Prayer, if a person is willing to put forth the effort, God will ensure that we're going to see some fruit from our labors. And so I want to go through five different steps real quickly one of the greatest warriors of all time was Joshua. We cannot dispute, we cannot doubt not agree that Joshua saw some great victories in his life. And so with this, I want to look at the fact that in order to make our prayer life better, we need to look at some examples to follow. And of course, a biblical example, I'd want to look at Joshua. We read verse 12 and 13. Let's look at verse number 14. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of man and fought, and the Lord fought for Israel. You know, as we look at this unique prayer that was recorded by Joshua, he and his men had been involved in this battle, and although they were winning, Joshua was worried that they would not win enough, that they would allow too many to, even though they got the victory, too many would escape. and either cause trouble again or to continue in badgering or attacking them over the course of time. And so as darkness was approaching, his solution was that he prayed to God to stop the sun. That's a pretty big request to order. But he asked it so they'd have more daylight. Of course, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have the technology of street lamps and things to continue the battle, or night vision like we have today. So therefore, many battles would end when the sun went down because the army would then be able to retreat in the darkness. So here we learn the million-dollar question. So where did he learn to pray like that? Joshua chapter 3, verse number 5, Joshua 3, 5, I have it all marked in my Bible, so I'm going to flip over there real quick. Joshua 3, 5, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." The question is, where did he learn to pray like that? The answer is Moses. He had the example of being with Moses, and Joshua got to, he was allowed to tag along, and as Moses ascended Mount Sinai and came back down to deal with the golden calf of the people of Israel, and during this time, he did not know it, Moses did not know it, but God was grooming him to one day replace Moses and to lead God's people. And, so as Joshua came to be known for his outlandish answered prayers, some credit of the power with God must be given to Moses as he learned by his example, provided him the multiple examples of getting his prayers answered. I look at those, of course, Joshua in the biblical days, in the Bible. I want to look at George Mueller and the answer of prayers and that you see throughout his life as God provided, and many times not even knowing what was going to happen for the end of the day, but yet God would provide every day without fail. But George Mueller was a man of prayer. I think of in my own life, my mother, I remember many times as a child coming out to go to the bathroom or in the morning, and my mom would be out there in the dinner living room praying. I remember one day she scared me so bad, at least I try to excuse that's why I wet the bed, but I woke up and she was praying right over me, and boy, that in the dark, that terrified me. As she had definitely a prayer life that was evident, and other godly men like Jack Hiles, as he laid on his father's grave for 3 days, and he said, "I will not leave until I get the Holy Spirit's power upon my life." And you see about John R. Rice, as God used him through his life and all the books he's written on prayer to help many people to understand about prayer. There are those in our lives that can be there for an example, so that as we pray with confidence, we pray with faith, and we pray asking and receiving and knowing that if God can come through for others, He can come through for us. And if God has the power to answer those prayers, God has the power and the ability, if He wills, to answer our prayers. And so there's that example in our lives that we can look to. We must have the hands of a servant. If we want our prayer life to grow and practice in our lives, we must first be a servant. Look at Joshua chapter 5. I'm going to flip over there real quick. I've got it marked. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Thou art for us, art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of the host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, Joshua here is yet displaying another example of how he was able to get his prayers answered by being in the form of a servant. You say, well, Joshua was the leader. He was the head honcho. He was the one that gave the orders. No, he said, I'm a servant. As he said in verse number 14, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Understanding that we are servants, we need to remember who we serve. As we go before the Lord, remember, he is the master. We are the servants. I believe many times we go and demand our orders of him, but not understanding and reminding ourselves who we serve. He did not just assume the name of a servant, but he took the position and the attitude of a servant. He served the people by praying over the upcoming battle during the midnight hour. He was there as he was served the Lord, removing his shoes and as he had been instructed. And he displayed a servant's heart by the willingness to fall on his face before the Lord and humbling himself. You know, God is present in the Bible as our friend and our comforter. And boy, praise the Lord, he is. Aren't you glad tonight that the Lord is our comforter, there to comfort us when we're afraid or when we're not sure of the future, and he's our friend? But in order to capture his attention, in order to win his approval, we must first humble ourselves. Boy, how much promises and instruction is about humility and about humbling ourselves before the Lord, and how God will resist the proud, but yet he will bless and he will be there for those that are humble. And as the surest way of doing so, taking ourselves and humbling ourselves, is to take on the form of a servant. You know, we're not above Christ. Christ was the Son of God. He was God in the form of flesh, took on the form of a servant, the Bible says. And if Jesus is not too high and mighty to become a servant, you and I, we should take on that same role in our life. And that's what Joshua did. As we look at Joshua's life, he was a servant to not just to his people. No, he was a servant to God. And therefore, we need to remember who we serve and take on the humility of a servant. Number three, we need to combine our lives, our prayer life, with hard work. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 10. I have that marked. I'm going to flip over there. Joshua chapter 7 and verse number 10. It says, And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, whence wherefore thou liest thou thus upon thy face. Israel hath sinned, and they also have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel cannot stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. And of course, we know this is the story of Achan as he is stolen from Jericho, and as God's blessing was or even provision of safety was taking off of Israel, that he would not be with them. They were accursed. And yet we see that the powerful example that we are partners with God in prayer. Many people, they view prayer wrongfully. They view prayer as a mean of transferring our problems to God. You know, the preacher said, leave our burdens at the cross, or, you know, that the Lord will carry my burden, so therefore I'm just going to go dump it all at the feet of Jesus. Then I can sit back on the recliner and just wait for God to do all of the mighty wonders and mighty works and get my life back in order. But yet, it's not just sitting back and watching God work. But yet, one of the best rules to implement what comes to praying is pray to God for a solution. One of the things in which we pray about our problem, but we never pray for God to give us a solution. You know, many times God answers our prayers in mysterious ways. And many times He answers our prayers in ways in which we did not see or did not think possible. How many times do we go to the Lord with a problem and we ask Him for a solution? Well, we just go and we give our problem to the Lord, but yet then we just stop. We stop trying to fix the problem. And with that, I mean, we've got to understand that Joshua made the mistake of thinking that prayer was the ultimate solution. They lost on the battlefield, but God told Joshua, I want you to get up and I want you to find the accursed thing. The Israel have sinned against me. I want you to find the person. I want you to find the things. I want it taken care of. I want it destroyed. And so with that, Achan stole from God. God wanted justice. But when Joshua fell on his face in prayer, he's immediately told by God to get up, to stop his praying and to search for the culprit. Many times in our prayer lives, we need to understand, we need to stay busy serving the Lord. We need to be busy doing all that we can do for God. And in that, I mean, last week I showed a little video of the testimony of the life of James McCullen, who had won the Medal of Honor for his valentry on the battlefield in Vietnam. And the two-day battle that they were in, he continued to carry weapons and wounded from off of the middle of the battlefield while even putting his own life in danger. And as he made that bargaining plea with God, if God could save him so he could go home and say, I love you, to his dad, when he made that prayer and he, from his own words, said just a peace and a comfort came over him, did he stop and sit down and say, I'm done fighting? No. He continued to battle on. He continued to fight the enemy. He continued to run and to save the soldiers. He continued to do his part. He didn't just sit down and die. He didn't just sit and put his feet up and say, well, I prayed, so now God's got to do his part to get me out of the battlefield. No, he continued to stay in the fight. And you and I, we've got to understand, even though we go to the Lord and we ask for His prayer, and even though it took another 24 hours of fighting, God did hear His prayer. God did answer His prayer. But you and I, we need to understand, just like Joshua, we've got to keep on serving the Lord. We've got to keep on staying faithful. We've got to keep on doing our part and being consistent in our lives. Not just go and spend some time in prayer and then we just quit. Quit serving the Lord? No, we've got to keep on pressing on, because just like Joshua, he needed to continue even though he had prayed and asked God to intervene. Many times God will, through our continuing and being faithful and being a servant and being continually consistent, God will answer the prayer and give us the victory. Joshua chapter 9, verse number 8. I want to just give you those verses, and for the sake of time, I cannot read them all. Joshua 9, verse 8 through 14, as we see that prayer works best in our lives when we are consistent. We must be. It's like parenting. It's like having a job. Guess what? You won't have a job very long if you're not consistent. You show up one day, and then you decide, well, you know what? I just don't want to go in today. And I told this story before. I was in Burlington Coat Factory with my wife, and we were there, and I was buying some ties or something that they had on clearance. And one of the cashiers was all backed up, and she said, you know, where's so-and-so? And she's like, she just said she was done and walked out and went home. And I'm thinking, wow, she's probably not going to have a job tomorrow. We've got to be consistent. And in our Christian life, we've got to be consistent. In our prayer life, we've got to be consistent. As you read through those verses, I want to look at verse number 14 for the sake of time. It says, and the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. While Joshua had learned many things by watching Moses, unfortunately, he had also learned things in his life by the hard way, by finding out himself, by trial and error. And one of the easiest ways to mess up in the Christian life is to pray periodically, to have a prayer life that just you kind of hit or miss, kind of like our faithfulness in our Bible reading, kind of like our faithfulness to church and our faithfulness to soul winning and serving the Lord. Just kind of like, well, just what it depends on whatever mood I'm in. Depends on how good things go throughout the week, whether I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be or not, or I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do or not. That can be a fatal flaw in our spiritual prayer life. Because Joshua had become a hero of sorts, but he had the audacity to pray for the sun to stand still, and it did. But yet we see he was responsible for his people. He was responsible for himself being deceived by the Gibeonites. But he did not even pray about what he was supposed to do. Here we see great victory in his life because he prayed, and then we find a time in his life where he didn't even stop to ask God what he was supposed to do. One of the greatest mistakes we can make in our lives is that we make decisions that will impact our lives or do something of relative importance in our lives, and we don't even pray about it. We step out in front of God and then we say, oh, you know what? I probably should have prayed about that. Oh, maybe before I made this move or this job change or this life-changing situation or who I was going to marry or who I was going to date with, maybe I should have sought some godly counsel, some godly advice. Maybe I should have spent some time in prayer asking God to direct me and to guide me in life. One of the greatest mistakes we make in life is we don't even pray. James chapter 1, verse number 5. I'm going to turn over there real quick. James 1. 5, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, the Bible says that if we lack wisdom and we have a decision in which needs to be made, all we have to do is to ask the Lord. But yet we see in Joshua's life, he was not consistent all the way. And lastly, I'll close with this. Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 8. I'm going to turn back there real quick. Joshua chapter 10 and verse number 8 through 13. Again, I won't read all of those verses. You can go back and read those. But one of the things we've got to understand in our prayer life, God is not limited. We have a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who mansions on a hilltop. And boy, I love singing that song and understand. God's not limited like we are. And so we must keep that in mind when we ask believing, when we ask in faith. In verse number 12, we see that the sun stood still. Now, if you were to try to say that to some scientists, you were trying to explain that, and they would say, there's just no way. That's not possible. But yet, those are the same scientists who believe we came from nothing because the fact that God created or spoke the world into existence, that's just too far from believable. But no one wants to be viewed in their life as a failure, especially in a spiritual decision or in our spiritual life or our walk with God. We don't want to be a failure. I know I don't want to be a failure. And for this reason, many are afraid to do great and mighty things in their life and great and mighty things in their prayer life because they're afraid to ask it from the Lord. Understand, there's nothing wrong with asking for a prayer for a parking spot at Walmart. There's nothing wrong, you know, getting one close to the door or praying, you know, when it's raining to be able to get to your car, drive, or get home safe. There's no those small little prayers that we pray throughout the day, and as Brother Hager so well put it on Sunday morning, the little things in life and praying for those and making sure that we even seek the Lord's will and counsel in those areas of our life. But while there's nothing wrong with that, there ought to be some bigger things, some bolder things in which we're praying for. What big things, what impossible things are you asking of God in your life? I'm not asking you kids that God's going to make you a millionaire. God's going to do all your homework. I'm talking about things that that you need God's help, and you know if it happens, it's only of God. What things are you? What bolder things are you going before the throne of grace and beseeching the Lord? Joshua came to the place where he's not just willing to pray over problems and difficulties, but he was willing God. He was willing to ask God the impossible. God, can you keep the sun still for a day so that we can have the victory, so that we can do what you've called us to do? And there's no such thing as a bad prayer, but there's one prayer that is just horrible, the worst that we could ever do in life, and that's the prayer that we never pray. The worst thing that we could do, the worst prayer that we could ever have is the prayer that we never had in the first place. James chapter 4, turn back to James. James chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war." The last part of that verse, "Ye have not because ye ask not." The worst thing that you can do in your prayer life, or you say, "Well, I just struggle with my prayer life," it's because we don't ask. Because there's times that are going through our life that we should be praying, and we're not. Or we're not consistent. Or we go before the throne of grace and we don't have that servant spirit. We go with pride and indignation, and we go with our finger in God's face saying, "You need to do this, this, this." And we give God our wish list or orders, and we more bark God around at what he needs or how he needs to work in our lives. When we humble ourselves and we go with faithfulness and consistency, what things are you asking of God? What big things are you asking of God? Parents, what big things are you asking of God to do in the lives of your children? Husbands and wives, what big things are you asking for God to do in the life of your spouse? What big things, member, are you asking for God to do in your church? What big things are you asking? So the worst prayer that we could ever pray is the prayer that we never pray in the first place. Let's be faithful. Let's be consistent. Let's look at Joshua. See how God gave him the victory many times in his life. See some mistakes he made in his life. And let's learn from that so that we can have a stronger and better prayer life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all you've done and given us the example of Joshua. I pray that you please tonight, dear Lord, help us to grow closer to you, dear Lord, not in our faith as we, in our prayer life, that, dear Lord, we can have the victory over the things in which, dear Lord, as a human being, we see as impossible, but, dear Lord, as a Christian with faith and trust in our Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we know you can have the victory in every situation. May we pray with great faith. May we ask believing. May we ask of you amongst our own wants, our own will, but dear Lord, according to your will, for your glory, for your purpose, that dear Lord, that we would be consistent, not just praying periodically, but obediently by praying without ceasing. Dear Lord, you've given us so much instruction in your word about prayer, how you desire for us to be close to you, and the things in which you can do in our lives through prayer. May we not neglect it. May we look at the great examples. May we look at those in our lifetime or those throughout history that have had a great prayer life and model our lives after that in the example in which you've given us in Scripture. We thank you for the opportunity to come boldly before your throne. In just a minute, as we as a church pray, dear Lord, we know your promise where two or three are gathered in my name. There you are in the midst. Dear Lord, we ask that you'd please be with the prayer requests that are just about to be mentioned in just a minute. But dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity that we can come boldly before the throne of grace and come before our Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, we thank you for the praises, for those that you've healed and those that you've kept from becoming very ill from the virus. And dear Lord, we want to praise you and we want to thank you for that. Dear Lord, we want to praise you and thank you for all that you've done in our lives just this week. And I pray that you continue to bless. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. Don't forget, Sunday morning, Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Brother Hager will be over here with the teens and adults, and the kids will be next door for the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock, then our morning service at 11. All right, at this time, we're going to go ahead and dismiss for our prayer meeting.